you know, in 2026, it's already 80 to 1. 80 to 1 means that 80 times there are more machine or non-human based accounts as compared to humans. So identity will dominate this security part.
Welcome to the Cybersecurity Defenders Podcast, where we talk to the people who keep the internet safe. These industry experts share their innovative cyber defense technologies, vital insights into threats, and predictions for the future of cybersecurity. My name is Christopher Luft. I'm one of the co-founders of Lima Charlie, and I will be your host. This podcast is brought to you by Lima Charlie, maker of the SecOps Cloud Platform, infrastructure for SecOps where everything is built API first. Scale with confidence as your business grows. Start today for free at limacharlie.io. Now let's get into it. My guest today is Dr. Adil Sheikh Mohammed, a cybersecurity strategist and global speaker with over 16 years of experience across information security, networks, and systems. He currently works as a regional account executive and cybersecurity consultant, focusing on driving cybersecurity growth in partnerships across the Middle East and Africa. He is also a three-time author and active researcher with a focus on AI and security operations. With more than 50 certifications, including CISP, CISM, and PMP, Adil brings a practical perspective on how organizations can adapt to evolving cyber threats and the growing role of AI in cybersecurity. Thank you so much for being on the show with us today, Doctor. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Thank you for having me. So kind of you.
I always like to start these interviews by asking people like how they got interested in technology and how that turned into a career in cybersecurity. How did things start for you? Were you a kid that loved computers or did it come later in life?
Exactly. A kid that loves computer. Actually, my father used to run a computer training institute. So I opened my eyes and I have seen computers all over the place. So that's how I, my era of computers. And then, started from help desk, systems, networks, and then converted to cybersecurity for last 10 years. Whereas professionally, I'm into tech for around 16 years now. But as I mentioned, from the day first, I have seen computers. Like in 1986, first computer came in my computer dad's computer institute, whereas my birth is long after that.
Awesome. Yeah, that's actually pretty common. It's either people were playing video games or their dad had something to do with computers. And very cool. So I guess one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you or why I thought this interview made sense was that you do a lot of writing around AI and the SOC, and that's something we're very interested in my company and personally. So I guess just to kick things off, do you want to maybe talk about how AI works in the context of the SOC today? Like what's changing?
Yeah, so AI in the SOC is like, decision support plus the pattern recognition at scale, right? So the key roles which I need to discuss here is like, detecting anomalies, correlating events, and, prioritizing those alerts. Not a magic like earlier, it's like a, problematic and, the data dependent thing. AI in a SOC is now, it's not replacing analysts, right? It's helping them decide faster and better. So I must say my exposure to SOCs were like, I have built three SOCs from ground up. And I've written also like my book is also into AI-driven SOC. And the reason was that earlier, I was more interested in that how I can write something, especially in my doctorate, that, we can simplify cybersecurity. And my supervisor said that's a very big fish to fry, So that's why it boiled down to that, how AI driven transformation of SOCs is performing and where you guys come into place into agentic, SecOps workplace or tools.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think has changed in the last year or two? I really think the last year we've seen a step change in how AI is penetrating cybersecurity. Do you attribute that to anything or has it just been around long enough that people are starting to use it?
No, like there is a lot of change in terms of, the exposure of data volume, the alerts and the attack surface itself, cloud, SaaS, remote work, and others. And LLMs made AI, usable for non-experts and very fast to deploy, what I'm seeing, in the markets. Again, tools like what you guys are, you know, making it achievable for these SOC environments. And attackers who are already using AI, there is pressure on the defender side because obviously that's proportional. And AI has become the central because humans alone cannot keep up with the speed and scale anymore.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're making a distinction between like statistical models, what I sort of refer to as machine learning versus AI, which I think LLMs kind of have taken over that now.
True. Yeah, you are right. So, you know, majority are still, you know, like what I see is they are experimenting or they are using, you know, via some indirectly tools, but it's changing a lot from the reactive side to the proactive side.
Do you, like we've talked about AI adds value for the analyst. So I think like, you know, enrichment data. So this detection happened. Here's some stuff that I can share with you about it, sort of doing the research for you. Is there other places you see AI realistically adding value or is a lot of it hype?
So there are a few areas which are real values and some are the hypes. So just for example sake, the alert prioritization, the anomaly detection, I see the real value. Then the threat correlation, that is one of the biggest, and the SOC efficiency itself. These are some of the elements where I see the real value. Whereas there are still, you know, hype words around it, like, you know, full autonomous SOC, which is near to me, it's a hype. Similarly, the perfect prediction of attacks, that's also near to me is a hype. And the biggest of all, which I'm sure you have heard hundreds of times, that replacing human analyst.
Yeah.
So AIs add value to, you know, in narrowing focus, but not in making final decisions, you know.
Yeah. I think data enrichment, triaging, there's a tons of individual spots where it adds value. I do think that when we talk about like anomaly detection and things like that, the LLMs are not the right place for that. That's where we lean on things like machine learning just because of the volume of data and speed at which these things need to run, right?
100%, yes. So, you know, it's a combination of like, obviously, somewhere it's LLM, somewhere it's the machine learning itself. And there are still, you know, the final decisions need to be made by humans only. So I always say humans should be in the loop. I'm a big advocate on this AI governance side of it.
Yeah, I think so. But it's interesting because, you know, in our experience, even in like the engineering side of what we do, I see AI systems taking over more and more of those human decisions. Like ultimately, the final button is still pressed by a human and across all of our workflows. But like, for example, we have commit review AIs that look at the code that was generated with AI in an engineer.
Lovely.
And we're still have a few human do the final review before anything goes to production and stuff. But I can see it slowly chipping away at that. And I wonder how long, you know, given the exponential nature of how fast this stuff changes, how long until more and more of those decisions are taken over by AI systems.
I think like, you know, we would be in a problem if everything will be done by AI, especially in cybersecurity. You know, just for example, in 3 a.m. in the morning, the AI has taken a decision, especially in the source side of it, the orchestration side of it. So in the morning, the SOC manager is shouting, like, you know, it will be like a blame game. Who is responsible? Who is accountable?
You know? Yeah. Well, that's one of my jokes, actually, is that like there'll always be a human in the loop because somebody needs to get thrown under the bus when things go wrong. So.
100%. Otherwise, what, you know, this machine has done it or that agent has done it, that will not, like, you know, in a fun, you know, blame game situation.
Mm-hmm. And like you talk about speed as a key factor right now. And I think that's a really important part to touch on. You know, we cover the news in another segment on this podcast. And just reading about the speed from when a CVE is dropped to when exploits in the wild are seen now is, you know, that time frame is condensed to hours instead of days. And I think that's going to be a attack vector that is more and more exploited by threat actors, which means that we have to react faster and faster.
Exactly. So, you know, attack happens in minutes, not days. So the lateral movement is faster, the detection delay, which results in a very, higher impact. Speed is now the difference between a, you know, minor incident and a major breach. So you know, AI is definitely changing this speed of both sides, obviously not only the defense side, but also the attacker side. So from the attacker point of view, it's faster phishing generation, the automated recons, and scalable attacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas from the defender side, it's again faster detection, the quick triage, and, you know, automatic responses. So mm-hmm. I must say that AI is accelerating both sides, but attackers benefits from fewer constraints.
Yeah. Would you say that human-only SOCs are extinct or quickly becoming extinct now?
I don't think so, because, SOCs will be there. It will be more autonomous, you know. But as we were discussing about human in the loop, so human should be the final decision maker for anything. So there will be there. But the responsibility will increase, you know, just like we always give the example of calculator. Right, when the calculator came, we jumped to calculus, and you know the basic calculator the basic calculator could not solve that issue. So similarly, you know, the SOC analyst, we used to remember, I think it's like 13-14 years back when I was in my first SOC, like, we frankly speaking, we used to watch movies in the night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that will change. Why? Because they know that, you know, AI is going to trigger, and, you know, let's give heavy lifting. The analyst should do more work instead of just sitting ideally and, you know, waiting for the alerts.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Nicole from the Lima Charlie marketing team. Many security teams deal with tool sprawl. Dozens of different solutions that create gaps in visibility and slow down response times. Our SecOps Cloud platform consolidates your security stack into a unified platform where everything works together. Lima Charlie gives you comprehensive endpoint visibility and automated response capabilities in milliseconds instead of minutes, so you can stop threats before they spread across your environment. Try our scalable infrastructure for your security services for free at limacharlie.io.
So you just mentioned that attackers are also leveraging AI. What are you seeing? How is that changing the other side of the fence?
Yeah, as I said, you know, from the phishing generation to social engineering, I'm sure you have heard about those stories where, you know, in the emails, there are few lines hidden, especially for the AI readers, you know, and OpenClaw and others, and they are taking actions on that. Then we discuss about this automated recon, or, you know, the scale of the attacks, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's why, you know, I'm sure you know about this Claude Mythos, that, you know, people are saying that, like, Anthropic itself is saying that it's very dangerous if it goes to the bad hands, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you made a good point there. I think, you know, what I'm seeing so far is the sophistication of the attacks aren't necessarily becoming more complex across the board, but the breadth of everything is.
True. You know, deepfake fraud, that include the malware variations, which is like, you know, I still have a question mark, and I need to, like, you know, debate with someone who is senior like you, that Mythos is saying that it can detect a 0-day. I don't know how, you know, what definition is of 0-day, because for us, the definition of 0-day is that nobody has seen it. If nobody has seen it, then how AI knows that what to stop? So how?
Yeah, well, I mean, just like off the top of my head, I think that kind of stuff, it's ability to move fast at a large scale in a way the human brain can. It's probably looking at known vulnerabilities across other things over time. And it's like, you know, you can kind of look for patterns. And I'm sure that's, you know, it just has such a breadth of information that it's able to hold, that it can look at a new code base and quickly look for common things, where for a human, you know, that's a slow depth first search.
Yes, can I say that it's a better threat intel then? It's a better threat intelligence?
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I think everything's improved from the defender side and the efficiency side, but yeah, the attackers too, like the breadth of attacks has increased, whereas now you can have somebody who's maybe first language is in English, writing good phishing emails, somebody who wasn't a very good coder being able to like modify existing malware to do things that they want. And even like the stuff I'm seeing come up in the news, you're seeing threat actors now writing malware in new languages like Go and Rust. And I think a lot of that has to be assisted by AI. So how should organizations prepare for AI powered adversaries? So we've got, I've got my SOC. I'm trying to bring in, you know, AI as a tool to make my analysts more efficient. But how do I prepare for the robot war that's coming?
So there should be like a strengthened identity security side. Then the major point which I highlight a lot is the improve of visibility, which lacks a lot. Then implement the AI governors, which is like the guardrails for that, you know, AI. And the most important word, which is usually neglected, what I'm seeing is the training of the users, right? Beyond that basic awareness that we say that, oh yeah, we are already using Nobi 4, you know, so something beyond that. So you don't fight AI attacks with more tools, you fight them with better architecture, you know, overall.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, governance, you've mentioned it several times. I do think that's important. Same with AI identity. I'm just wondering how do we maintain accountability when AI is making so many of the decisions? We talk about keeping a human in the loop, but, you know, if analysts are expected to close 300 tickets a day or whatever the level grows to from the AI assistance, like how does accountability stay there? How do we find out where it went wrong?
It's again, it depends that what exactly is the issue that the AI is solving. So if it's a basic tickets, again, that's why we had thresholds and, you know, the labels from so long now, right? So that all depends. If it's like, you know, for example, the lower or mid segment, you know, we, again, the humans will only decide that, you know, what need to be auto close, what need human intervention, right? And you are 100% right that one analyst cannot close 300 tickets in a day, right? So need to keep a balance on there. But that is really required. Otherwise, you know, as we already discussed that, you know, because cybersecurity is everything digital, right? It is AI, it is crypto, it is, you know, your transactions. I always say that, you know, cybersecurity is one of the areas which even you can say that, you know, if you can promise me digital, I can promise you cybersecurity, right? Because with every single area of IT or tech overall, we need to secure that element or that vector, right? So that's why that is really required. And we cannot leave everything towards AI that, you know, AI is doing that up.
So do you have any advice for organizations that are early in the journey? Where should they start trying to integrate AI in the SOC?
Yeah, so from the advice point of view that, you know, what they need to do, first of all, they need to know their use case, right? And once they know the use cases, then if that can be solved via some tools, definitely go with the tools. If not, then build their own tools or, you know, what you can solve via your own use cases. So if it's a big organization, definitely they can take help via tools what you guys are providing, you know, like Charlie. But there are other organizations which are giving amazing tools. But please keep in mind that there need to be the AI governance element into it. And if there is not, then please do your own pen testing. Please do your own testings via external consultant so that you know where you stand and if that tool is the right fit or not.
Is there any kind of heuristics I can use to, like, if I'm new to AI, like personally, I have a pretty good idea of what it's capable of, but I'm just trying to think of somebody who's looking at bringing this into their organization. What kind of heuristics when looking at a problem or a use case can I use to decide whether this is something that AI may or may not be able to solve for?
That also AI can help you with. You know, like, it's not, I'm not talking about the SOC overall or the cybersecurity, but overall, like, for example, you know, first of all, just write it down what you do in our daily basis, okay? Mm-hmm. Once you have that approach, then you can ask even ChatGPT only that, you know, how I can automate this, right?
Even
AI will help you to build the use cases, you know, because you are 100% right. That's what organizations are struggling with, that they don't know where to start. And there's a pressure from the top that, you know, you have to use AI, AI wrappers, AI driven, AI first, you know, before their organization names. So, and the environment, especially the analysts, they don't have any idea. And it comes down to all tech people that, you know, you are the one who will be, you know, completing this job. We don't know anything about AI.
I love that answer. Ask AI. You know, it's trust but verify, right? You know, like,
You know, just like people always ask me that, you know, we are using OpenClaw on our MacBooks and or Mac Minis, and we don't know how to secure. Ask the damn thing, man. Right? It will give you the options. It will give you, like, yes, there are, like, you know, when I was asking, it come up with 5 or 6 YouTube videos. They were so amazing with every single aspect, how you can make the guardrails around OpenClaw. So it will help you. But, you know, we are not testing AI, you know, in that perspective that we are saying do something negative to the environment or, you know, otherwise you will die or something.
Do you think there's any new skills that cybersecurity professionals will need in this future AI-driven SOC?
Yes, definitely. There are so many skills which need to be in effect, especially in terms of, very importantly, how to compute the decisions and how to take the actions, you know? So in terms of, like, what are the negotiation capabilities? What do you think about this? How you interpreted that decision? Because, you know, most of the skill-based jobs or, you know, your skills are taken by AI. So you should learn how to process that information in a fast fashion and how you can multitask.
Yeah, orchestration is sort of how you think about it. Okay, this is the last one I have for you. It's the one I ask of everybody that comes onto the show. It can be as wide or as narrow as you want. Do you have any predictions for the future of cybersecurity?
Yeah, so in terms of prediction, I will say that obviously AI will redefine the attacks, the defenses, the governance, and the major part which I'm really, you know, a little skeptical about is the identity. You know, so because identity is changing a lot, you know, in 2026, it's already 80-1. 80-1 means that 80 times there are more machine or non-human based accounts as compared to humans. So identity will dominate this security part, and the autonomous systems will definitely rise. I must say that cybersecurity will shift from what I see is from, you know, tool driven to decision driven. And, you know, AI will be the one or AI will be the center of that shift.
Yeah. Identity is so interesting. I was at a conference called Sector in Toronto, Canada last year. And one of the keynote speakers did a talk about identity. And I might have the number slightly wrong, but the scale's approximate. She was saying that an organization today with 2,500 identities is going to have around 2 million identities once AI is fully implemented. So, you know, I think about all those API keys and stuff kicking around and, you know, there's a lot of stuff to worry about there. And I'm sure somebody will come up with a way for us to manage that.
Yeah,
so,
Chris, you know, like earlier, you know, now the customers were used to say that we are using 80 applications. And now a single guy who is just experimenting with OpenClaw is using 80 plus applications. So that's a brutal truth. You know, attackers don't hack the system anymore. They log in.
Yes, that's right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking to me, Adil. This was a really cool conversation, and hopefully we'll get a chance to speak again in the future.
So kind of you, Chris, for sure. And hopefully we can meet face-to-face also in person very soon.
All right. Yeah. Are you going to be at Black Hat this year?
For sure. I will be there.
Okay. Well, we'll make a point to meet up there and have a coffee or something.
Sure. For sure.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris. Bye.
And that brings us to the end of another great conversation. You can support our show by sharing your favorite episode with a friend, subscribe, give us a rating, or leave a comment on your favorite podcast platform. If you want to be part of the conversation, you can join our community forum at community.limacharlie.io. Thanks for listening in, and we'll see you on the next one. The Cybersecurity Defenders podcast is hosted and produced by Christopher Luft. The show is co-produced and edited by Sam Blake with graphics by Amr Al-Khatib. Sponsored by Lima Charlie, scalable infrastructure for your security services. Visit limacharlie.io to get started for free.